Very often I recommend to people to do spiritual reading as a way of strengthening their spiritual life. And I've been thinking recently that maybe people might not know where to start who want to do this. So I thought today I would just recommend a very simple but powerful book that I'm sure you can all benefit from, that I recommend all of you to read. Is called An Easy Way to Become a Saint. It was written in the 1930s by a Dominican priest named Father Paul O'Sullivan, who wrote about a half a dozen books and pamphlets in a very simple and beautiful style. And he was a man of very simple faith, to whom the faith was something very real, which comes out in his writings. This book, An Easy Way to Become a Saint, I read it when I was about 14 years old or so, and I can say that it had a profound effect on me. It in a way, changed my life. And I think that if you read this book, it will have a similar effect on you, because Father O'Sullivan explains how anyone can become a saint. It is not something impossible, or even in a sense difficult, because he says that being a saint is simply having a great love of God. He says the whole point of religion is exactly that, to love God. In fact, that is the greatest of all the commandments. He says that we were created for that sole purpose. And he says the only reason we have trouble loving God the way our religion tells us to is mainly and primarily because of our ignorance and lack of understanding of the truths of our faith, even more than sin itself. It is our ignorance and spiritual blindness that make it difficult for us to love God. And the whole purpose of this book, all the way through, is to teach the reader how to love God and why he should. Because he says that God has an immense love of us, and it certainly cannot be difficult to love someone who loves us very much. On the contrary, that is the most natural thing in the whole world. I urge all of you to get a copy of this book. As a matter of fact, I found it scanned on the internet, and I put a link to the online version on our website on the links page, so you can read it for free right off of there. It's about 100 pages, and the pages are rather small, so it's not a long book at all. But I recommend you to read through it in order, because the ideas are presented in a logical sequence. He starts out by saying that we can become saints just by living a life that appears ordinary to those around us. But by having a great love of God in our hearts and fulfilling the duties of our state with perfect fidelity and offering our sufferings to God with patience and practicing the virtues. And he gives various examples in the lives of the saints, of saints who lived in that way, like Saint Teresa of Lisieux, who never worked any miracles in her lifetime, and appeared to live just the life of a regular nun. But in her heart, she was on fire with the love of God, and she was a great saint. Now, when we say love God, he emphasizes that this is not a sentimental feeling or something physical, but rather an intelligent understanding of God's infinite goodness and love of us, and a willingness to do his will in all things. But he says that for the ordinary Christian, our main idea about God should not be primarily an all-powerful being who will punish us for our sins. He says, no, our main idea of God, the main way that we understand our relationship with him, is a relationship of love between him and us. Obviously, he says that people that love mortal sin and ignore God and have no qualms about committing any sin they want, who make no attempt to practice religion, should be afraid of the divine wrath. But he says that for people who are trying to live a Catholic life, despite their faults, they should mainly think of God as someone who loves them very much. And the holy fear they have of God should be mainly a reverential fear of sinning and offending our Heavenly Father. So Father O'Sullivan explains in detail how God has shown his love of us. He created each one of us, first of all, out of nothing, despite not having any need for our existence. In fact, God could have created a great angel instead of us, or a great saint. But he created us out of his pure love of us, simply because he wants us to serve him and be with him forever in heaven. This is a very simple idea in itself, but it is a very powerful one at the same time. And Father O'Sullivan asks, why does this not impress us, just the thought of our creation alone? He says it is because we don't think about it and meditate on it and understand it. And he stresses repeatedly throughout the book the need for contemplating the spiritual truths that he lays out. He says that this is not like reading an instruction manual or a novel or just entertainment. It is something that takes time to absorb and to understand. But if we really think about the love of God, it will more and more inform our thoughts and change the way we think and make us holy and ultimately make us saints. As soon as God created us out of nothing, when we were born, shortly afterwards, most of us were baptized and received a beautiful garment of sanctifying grace. God wanted to make us pleasing to him with a participation in his own divine life. And he also gave us a guardian angel to take care of us and protect us for our entire lives. And in fact, God himself watches over us with his holy providence, so that nothing can happen to us without his consent. He doesn't allow any evil to happen to us unless he sees that it is something good for our souls. As if all of this were not enough, then when the human race sinned against God, that still didn't take away God's love for mankind. Instead, he promised to save mankind from its sins by sending a Redeemer to atone for our sins. This is another great proof that God has shown us of how much he loves us. Our Lord became man and was born in a stable and lived a very difficult life, all in order to give us an example and show his love for us, and to die for our sins so that we could have a second chance to be with him in heaven. We do not do favors for people ordinarily unless we like them for some reason. And certainly the more we are willing to do something for others, the more that means that we love them. So we can just think of how much our Lord suffered for us on the cross, what that means for how much he loves us. It is a great mystery, but it is one that we have to think about and meditate on in order to understand. Now, Father O'Sullivan says, someone might think, but I commit so many sins. I'm sure this must all apply to someone else holier than me. But this is not for me. God is very angry at me for the sins I commit. Certainly, if someone is in the state of mortal sin, he is the enemy of God. That is true. But Father O'Sullivan points out, look at what our Lord did during his life on earth. He went about doing good to all. He made it as clear as it, as as clear as possibly could be that he came on earth to save sinners. In fact, he even said that he did not come to save the just, but to save sinners. And we see his mercy towards even very wicked people in the Gospels who repented and showed their love for him and their desire to do better. We see Saint Mary Magdalene, Zacchaeus, the dishonest money changer, Saint Paul himself, who even persecuted the church, Saint Peter, who betrayed him, and so on. Numerous examples. Our Lord had nothing but mercy and love for these people when they came to him asking for help and for his forgiveness. And if we have the same attitude, that we hate our sins and want to avoid them, our Lord has exactly the same immense love for us. We can just look at what our Lord spent his time doing during his public life to get another idea here. Father O'Sullivan says he went about healing the sick and consoling people who were in distress, feeding the hungry, and saving people from every type of misery, enlightening their ignorance, and so on, so that the Gospels could say, in summary, that he went about doing good to all. And all certainly includes us. And even people worse than us, whatever problems we might have. Because our Lord said he has come to seek and to save that which was lost. But Father O'Sullivan says that it is sad how many Catholics can even look at a crucifix and not be impressed at the suffering and the love that our Lord shows them in that image. And he says that the reason that is even possible is just because they don't think about his sufferings for them and how much he did for them. And the solution is prayer and contemplation. And someone could say, well, unfortunately, I don't live at the time of Christ, so I can't see him the way the apostles and these other people saw him. And Father O'Sullivan says that we shouldn't think that way, because our Lord did everything in his public life just as much to make a point to us as to benefit those people at the time. But much more importantly than that, our Lord has established a means for him to remain on earth until the end of time so that he can continue his work of mercy toward the human race. And that means is his presence in the Holy Eucharist. What an amazing thing it is that we can receive our Lord into our hearts in Holy Communion, where he strengthens us and draws us away from our sins and the things of this world so that we will love him instead. And not only that, but we can always come and pray to him in the tabernacle anytime we want. And he is waiting there to listen to us, to encourage us in any difficulty we have, to strengthen us against any temptation we have, and to inflame our fervor. Father O'Sullivan says that just like you can't approach a large fire in the wintertime without getting warm, so you can't pray devoutly in front of the tabernacle without having the love of God kindled in your heart. And if we really had a strong faith and understanding of God's love for us, it would be a source of joy and peace to us to pray in front of our Lord. He says, it is the same God in our tabernacles as it is that fills the blessed angels and saints in heaven with perfect happiness. So how can it not have a similar effect on us if we do the same thing here on earth that they do in heaven? The second half or so of this wonderful book is a lot of practical advice on how to live a good Catholic life. He says that we can sanctify our every action of the day by avoiding sin and doing all of our actions for the love of God. As St. Paul tells us, whether we eat or drink or whatever else we do, we should do it for the honor of God, and that will merit us a reward for all eternity. Secondly, we have to pray well. When we pray, he says, we have to put ourselves in the presence of God. When we pray, we have to imagine ourselves as having a conversation with God, who loves us so much and is giving us his full attention at that moment, and wants to give us anything that we ask for or need, provided that it is good for our souls. Our prayers should not be a boring duty, something we do out of obligation. They should be something we see with the eyes of faith. We have to pray with simple love and confidence in God and strong faith. He talks a lot also about the other basic means of the spiritual life, how to pray the rosary well, and how we should attend Mass as often as possible, because Mass is the death of our Lord being offered to God again on the altar right in front of us. And he explains the necessity of having devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. He talks about suffering, too, and how we all have suffering in this world, and how this is willed by God because we have to have a share in his passion. We have to cooperate, in a sense, with our redemption by atoning for our sins. Because if even Jesus and Mary had to suffer in this world, who had no sin, then certainly we do too. But he says that the important thing about suffering is not to try to avoid it because it is a great evil, but to offer it to God with patience in reparation for our sins. In fact, if we suffer with patience and acceptance of God's will, that will also make it much easier to bear our sufferings in this life, and will sanctify our souls much more. He says that many people think that suffering is the great evil of this life, and they do everything to avoid it, but he says that if it were possible to avoid all suffering in this life, that would rather be the great evil of life, because it would deprive them of so many spiritual goods. And lastly, Father O'Sullivan has a section on spiritual reading and how we have to read from the writings of the saints for 10 or 15 minutes every day in order to have a strong spiritual life, which is why I am telling you about this book. Because, as he says, again, the problems we have in our spiritual life, our lukewarmness and our lack of interest in the things of God, and our lack of love of God and interest in prayer, all come mainly from a lack of understanding and knowledge of our faith. By reading thoughtfully and devoutly about the mysteries of our faith, it reverses those problems. It will fill us with zeal and love of God. But we have to read in a thoughtful manner and think about what we read and take our times to absorb these supernatural mysteries. And we have to pray for God's light and guidance at the same time. And he closes the book with a beautiful chapter on confession and how powerful it is in healing the diseases of the soul. This book as a whole is really a complete manual of the spiritual life, and it's something that everybody can understand. His style is very accessible and very easy. And I urge all of you to get a copy or to read the copy I put on our website. And his words are very simple and powerful, and it will certainly help you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.